All right, I'm going to try to bring the message I feel like the Lord has laid upon my heart. Something I preached here many years ago. I don't think I've preached it here since. And as far as I really know, the only other time I ever preached it, as best I can remember, was in a camp meeting at Brother Gary Griffith's. And so I'm a little rusty on it. Hadn't preached it in a long time. But I really feel like God dealt with my heart about this, and I want to try to preach it here in the auditorium this morning. I trust you'll be a-praying for Brother Hall as we bring the thought today. What Ronnie Simpson, or what Brother Ronnie Simpson said this morning, it triggered a real thought in my heart. Because he said if a man preaches on particular things a great deal, that God will vindicate that man. And what he preaches will be brought to pass. And the subject that I'm going to be dealing with this morning, if you paid close attention, I feel like I've labored that point a great deal. And if he is correct, then the Lord will surely vindicate. And if he does so, I believe it will mean a great, great outpouring of God's grace and blessings upon Island Ford Baptist Church. And knowing I'm not preaching revival, okay? But I think you'll understand once I make this all in mind. Notes are kind of scattered in my mind. I hope you'll bear with me as I try to bring the thought this morning. Psalm 78, please, in your song, in your Bible, Psalm 78, and when you find that place, let's stand together. Psalm 78 in your Bible this morning. And I'll just pick up reading in verse 1 and read down several verses of these. Psalm 78, give ear, O my people, to my law. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. That'd be wise, wouldn't it? That'd be real wisdom to listen to what God has to say. I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings of old, which we have heard and known and our fathers have told us. We will not hide them from their children, showing to the generation to come the praises of the Lord and His strength and His wonderful works that He hath done. Have you done that to your children? Amen. Have you shown them? I didn't say tell them.
Right.
He said we will not hide them, but we'll show them the praises of the Lord and His strength and His wonderful works that He hath done. For He hath established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which He commanded our fathers, that they should make them known to their children. Are we doing that? Are we making God's Word known to our children? That the generation to come might know them, even the children which should be born, who should arise and declare them to their children. Sounds like a chain reaction, a domino reaction there to me. On teaching the Word of God and training up children and so forth. Goes right on down to the grandchildren, the great-grandchildren. And for what reason here, Brother Asaph? That they might set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep His commandments, and might not be as their fathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation, a generation that set not their heart aright, and whose spirit was not steadfast with God. The children of Ephraim, being armed and carrying bows, turned back in the day of battle. They kept not the covenant of God and refused to walk in His law, and forgot His works and His wonders that He had showed them. Marvelous things did He in the sight of them, of their fathers, in the land of Egypt, in the field of Zoan. He divided the sea and caused them to pass through. And he made the waters to stand as an heap. In the daytime also, he led them with a cloud, and all that night with a light of fire. He clave the rocks in the wilderness and gave them drink out of great depths. He brought streams also out of the rock and caused waters to run down like rivers. And they sinned yet more against him by provoking the Most High in the wilderness. And they tempted God in their hearts, asking meat for their lust. Yea, they spake against God. They said, can God furnish a table in the wilderness? Behold, he smote the rock, and the waters gushed out, and the streams overflowed. Can he give bread also? Can he provide flesh for his people? Now I'm going to put off reading right there. May the Lord add his blessing to that passage of Scripture this morning. Our Heavenly Father, I'm thankful, Lord, for the Sunday school hour. Thank you for the song service. Thank you for thy people that are present today and their faithfulness. Thank you, Lord, for the Word of God that is before us this morning. I pray for enlightenment, Lord, as I preach this and help from the Holy Ghost. I pray for anointing. I pray for power. I ask you, Lord, this morning to fill me one more time with the Spirit of God. Endue me with that power. Endow me with wisdom. Enlighten my understanding. Bless me that I might be a blessing. That sinners be saved. God's people be revived. And our Lord be glorified and magnified in everything that is said and done. I do pray for liberty as always in the house of God. We need that, Lord, to think clearly, be able to preach positively. I pray that you'll help now, and we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Thank you, and you may be seated. Now, as I commented down through these verses, I felt like I got a hint from some of you in the grimace look on your face that I was going to be addressing the issue of your children. But you can rest in your heart. I'm not preaching on the first verses in this text. But I want to take verse number 9 as my text today, where the Bible said there, the children of Ephraim. I wonder what kind of training Ephraim's children had. The children of Ephraim, being armed and carrying bows, turned back in the day of battle. It's one thing to turn back when things are going easy. It's another thing, it's worse, really, to turn back in the day of battle. And especially when you're armed and carrying bows. And I want to preach for a little while today, if God will help me, on turning back with victory in sight. Turning back with victory in sight. I'm afraid many times we've given up in the heat of the battle, and victory just around the corner, and we have turned back and given up while victory was just in sight. While the finish line was just a short way off, I'm afraid many have fallen out of the race. I don't want to be guilty, Brother Doug, of falling out of the race that God has set before me. Brother George sang that song, I Am Resolved, in Sunday school. I don't know if you heard me. I said that'd be a good song to sing in the preaching hour. I am resolved no longer to linger, charmed by the world's delight. But by the grace of God and me and my house, we are going to serve the Lord. And I tell you, ladies and gentlemen, the finish line is in sight. Our race is just about run. We're about to cross the finish line, and the heat of the battle is before us. God help us not to pull back in the heat of the battle and be guilty as Joab was, and caused some of our comrades to perish in the battle. Joab withdrew the the nation of Israel engaged in battle, that Uriah, the husband of Bathsheba, might lose his life, and God forbid that any of us here today would be guilty of pulling back in the day of battle and leaving our comrades and our companions there to fight the battle all alone and causing them to give way in the battle and become a casualty along the way. I read just this week in a little paper that I get about a young soldier boy in Vietnam in 1969. At Fire Station Base Illingsworth in the Tay Nam province of South Vietnam. And the story said that the enemy had assaulted that LZ. And they had overrun the infantry perimeter. They had overrun some of the artillery parapets and was in hand-to-hand combat. That story said this young soldier, a transplant from Canada, one good thing come out of Canada, amen, said that young soldier fought gallantly from his position until both weapons that he were firing became so hot that they malfunctioned and jammed, and then he tossed what hand grenades he had, and being wounded himself, rose up out of his foxhole and engaged the enemy in hand-to-hand combat. Withdrew himself and carried one wounded young man off to the medevac station, and while coming back, was wounded for the second time. The story said he went on to man a weapon that was working, positioned himself with a machine gun on a hill where he could oversee the battle, and being wounded a third time, began to engage the battle and the enemy until he finally passed out from exhaustion and the lack of blood for his own wounds. And it said there that they were recommended, and that man had gotten the Congressional Medal of Honor from the United States Army. And I got to thinking about that, and I thought, Lord, and it's true. I thought basic training, ladies and gentlemen, was real difficult. I thought my second 8 weeks at Fort Sill, Oklahoma, was real difficult. But I learned, ladies and gentlemen, that they were absolutely child's play. They were just, that was just toying around. That was assimilating combat. I've heard men talk about the infiltration course and live bullets flying over their head. Well, I'm going to tell you one thing about that. At least them guys on the machine guns on the other end didn't drop the barrel where you were led. It's one thing to crawl through an infiltration course when you know that your friends are the ones shooting rounds over you. But I'm telling you, it's another thing altogether, ladies and gentlemen, to get yourself in a firefight, in a real battle, and while the bullets are whizzing over your head, to stand courageously and defend your position, the flag of the United States of America, and be a soldier in the army, the greatest army in the world. I got to thinking about that, Benny. I thought, well, I thought things were rough when I was called to preach. Went to my first pastorate, and I tell you, I thought I was taking a stand. Got into Bible college, and I said, my God, this is a rough race I'm running. But I learned later that those men I thought were my enemies in Bible college and said, we want you to write a 25-page essay, they wasn't my enemy, ladies and gentlemen. They were trying to help me. They were trying to help me. And I thought that was really difficult. But I'm telling you, down through the years, and been 17 and a half years at Island Ford Baptist Church, I've realized, ladies and gentlemen, that the real test is not in basic training, and the real test is not in second aid. The real test is not in your first little pastorate, and it's not in Bible college. But the real test is when you look the devil straight in the eyeball every Sunday after Sunday and engage the enemy in a pulpit by the grace of God and anchor yourself in God's grace and keep on preaching. Amen. Amen. Yes, Anybody can make it through the easy things. But I'm telling you, it takes a soldier of the cross to stay firm and stand fast in the battle. Well, anybody can do all right back at base camp, sleeping in your own bed. When you're amongst friends, and I'm okay, the real test comes, ladies and gentlemen, when the battle, when you engage the enemy in the battle. And my text tells me that Ephraim, being armed and carrying bows, turned back in the day of battle. Now I could understand if they'd have turned back when they had nothing to fight with. But my Bible says, and the text says, that they were armed and carrying bows, and they turned back in the day of battle. That is, they had the armor, and they had the artillery, and they yet turned back in the day of battle. They had all the armor of God. They had all the armor of God. They had all the power of God, all the might of God, and yet they turned back in the day of battle. Turning back with victory in sight. Now I want to say to you today that we've got the armor. We have got the breastplate of righteousness. We've got the helmet of salvation. We've got our feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. We have got the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. We have got all the armor. But ladies and gentlemen, we've got the artillery also. We've got the Word of God that God's given to fight our battles with. And we've got the indwelling Holy Ghost that God's given us to fight our battles with. And God help us if we be in armed and carrying bow, turn back in the day of battle. I won't say this to you now, and I love you. But some of you didn't understand the battle that was raging the last 3 days in those little rooms back there. You didn't understand it. You wasn't in that battle. And I wonder if in your heart you've not turned back. See, Israel's problem was they did not literally turn back down into Egypt. But the Bible said they turned back in their heart. And I wonder if we've lost our heart. Have we lost our spirit? Have we lost our zeal to engage the enemy and keep on fighting a good fight of faith? And ladies and gentlemen, while the fiery darts are applied and the devil's on the attack, have we got the grace that's needed to keep on fighting this battle? Or are we going to withdraw and turn back with victory in sight? God help us. Ephraim, being armed, carrying bow, turned back in the day of battle. And the battle is raging. Why, some of y'all didn't even bother to call. Some of you didn't even bother to come by. Some of you had no earthly idea the burden and the load that the man of God's carrying. I sat in there one time and thought, Lord, it sure would be good if Aaron and Hur had come by and hold my hands just for a little while I sit here and do my best. Somebody said, oh, you're just trying to raise money. You do understand, without money, the gospel dies. Without money, the gospel ceases from this place. Without money, the lights go out. Without money, there's no preaching. Without money, there's no Sunday school. Without money, your children cannot be taught. Without money, your children cannot hear the gospel. Without money, we cannot fulfill the Great Commission. Go into all the world. Preach the gospel to every creature. You would have been sitting in there Friday night and talked to that blind boy out of Atlanta, Georgia. It might have changed some of his attitude. That boy said, preacher, said, I just picked this station up on freedom.com or whatever. I don't even know what that is. Said, there's only one Christian station in Kentucky. And said, I marvel that I can sit in my home and listen to what I'm hearing all the way up in Kentucky. And here I am in Atlanta, Georgia. And I thought, well, there's a lot of people doing that. He said, I'd ask you to pray for me. He said, I'm blind. And there's nobody that's carrying me to church. He said, would you pray that God would send somebody by that'll let me take them by the arm and follow them into the house of God? Now I'm telling you, ladies and gentlemen, that got a hold of my heart to know that God has led a bunch of little old barefoot Kentucky hillbillies carry the gospel and the light of the world into Atlanta, Georgia. Carry the light to a blind boy that's without, amen, probably without God and without hope. And I wonder if we're zealous enough to carry the battle on this morning. Are you listening? I wonder. Turn back. Ephraim turned back in the day of battle. What about you? You going to turn back? Or are you going on in the battle and the conflict? Now listen carefully. There have been folks that have turned back with the cross, with victory at the cross in sight. I think about that rich boy in Mark 10. I've told the story a dozen times. How that boy came to Jesus. Asked him what he had to do to inherit eternal life. The Lord, being a wise God, said, keep the commandments. And him, trying to justify himself, said, which, Lord? The Lord said, love your father, obey your father and your mother, love your mother and your father, love the Lord. Do this, do that. He said, all them I've kept from my youth up. The Lord said, you still lack one thing. Go and sell what you have, give it to the poor, take up your cross and follow me. And the Bible said that young boy went away. Went away, he turned back, ladies and gentlemen. That boy could have been saved right there, but he turned back and went away with victory in sight.
Amen. Amen. Yes,
sir. I wonder how many Baptists have sat in the church and the Holy Ghost has opened up their understanding. The Holy Ghost has convicted them.
Amen.
The Holy Ghost has enlightened their heart and their mind. And they realize they're lost and without God. Amen. And they walked up and kissed the door of heaven on the cheek like Judas and went away. Heaven, the artillery and the armor that the Holy Ghost had provided. And they've died, ladies and gentlemen. And gone to hell. Because they turned back when the heat got on. They turned back. I wonder this morning how many people have turned back from Canaan. And in Numbers 14, Israel came to Kadesh Barnea, had the report of the spies. Joshua and Caleb said, were we well able to go in and take the land? But that bunch of lying devils, and I never saw this before, never thought nothing about it until the other day. Do you know how many spies Joshua sent into Canaan, to Jericho? Two. It was only two that brought the right report back for Moses. Joshua may have thought, lest a bunch of liars get over there and bring back the wrong report, I'll just send two men over there that I know will come back and bring the right report that we need to hear. Amen. And I'm telling you, they come to Kadesh Barnea and they would not cross over, for they had a fear of the enemy. Being armed and carrying bows, they would not cross over and go into Canaan land. Amen. For fear of their own children. Now I'm telling you, God said, told that crowd, your children will bear your whoredoms 40 years in this wilderness. Now I want you to listen carefully now. God pronounced judgment on that crowd. Then they presumed upon God. There's nothing any worse than a presumptuous sin.
Amen.
Presuming God will do something when God has not done it or said He would do it.
Amen.
They said, we'll go up now. Moses said, you better not. The ark, God's not with you. And they went up, but Moses and the ark of God stayed in the camp. And I'll tell you, they lost lives that day, ladies and gentlemen, and fled from their enemy. They turned back in the day of battle and could have went over, could have conquered, could have won the land, but rather than that, they died in the wilderness and God gave the land to their children.
Right.
Now, I hope no mommies and daddies in here wants to be guilty of turning back from a spirit-filled life when it's just in sight. You can stand as they did in Kadesh, and there wasn't no river there. They didn't even have to cross a river. God made it easy for them. Stand in the borders of Kadesh and cast a wishful eye and turn and wander in the wilderness. Oh no! God said, be not drunk with wine, or where is in excess, but be ye filled with the Spirit. I wonder today, are you afraid of the Holy Ghost? Do you fear a Spirit-filled life? Do you fear being faithful to prayer and faithful to your Bible? Do you fear a Spirit-filled life that is definitely sure to open heaven and bring God's blessings down upon you and your family?
Amen. Go ahead now.
Do you fear a life of obedience? That's where the rubber meets the road, folks. Do I want to be obedient to the Bible? And by the way, that Bible said obey them have rule over you.
Right,
it's kind of hard to obey them that have the rule over you. If you make decisions and do things before you ever ask them that have the rule over you anything about it. That's rebellion when you take it on your own against the will of God and the will of the man of God to do what you want to do. That is rebellion. And I'll tell you where to lead. You'll turn back in the day of the battle being armed and carrying bows, and you'll turn back just like Ephraim did someday. Now you can say amen or oh me. Hallelujah. Amen. Some have turned back from the call. The Lord said in Luke 9:62, no man putting his hand to the plow and looking back fit for the kingdom of God. Now I'm telling you, there've been a whole lot of men called, Brother Troy in the service, and they've turned back. And I wonder if that might not be the problem with some of you in here today. God's put his hand on you and you fear. You're afraid. You're worried about what's out there. I'm telling you, you'll never get anywhere with God. So you go back to point one where God dealt with your heart and get back right there and go on with God rather than turning back when you're confronted with a hard task
Amen.
To do.
Yes, sir.
A lot of folks is just sail along, Miss Hall.
Yeah.
Till the heat gets on. They're confronted with something that's hard. And then they don't want to go any further with God. Don't realize what you're doing when you come to that conclusion. Some of you have taught your children when they were little, when you could keep them pretty well under your thumb. But you've let them get older. And when they got older, they've whined and stomped and kicked their feet like a spoiled brat. And you give in to them.
Amen.
The battle was raging and the heat was on and you turn back from that light, say amen or oh me. Now I'm telling you, if you turn back, you will wander, ladies and gentlemen, in an aimless, pointless spiritual life that will carry you nowhere.
Amen.
But to your grave with a bitter spirit.
Amen.
That's all.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Is anybody listening?
Amen.
Amen. A lot of folks turn back from the cup when victory was in sight. Jesus told his disciples, should the Son of Man not drink the cup that the Father's given him, talking about God's will for his life. And this is the will of God, even concerning you, even your sanctification. Now I'm telling you, a lot of folks will draw it to that line, but they can't get that pill taken care of. Amen. Now I tell you, if you can't get something as little as a cigarette out of your life, I'm telling you, ladies and gentlemen, you ain't ready to fight the big battles. If you can't throw away a Marlboro, you ain't ready to fight the big battle. I'm not saying you're lost. I'm just saying you ain't going nowhere else. You're, and our children, dress them right. Dress them right. Somebody said, well, I can't dress her right. She's 4 years old. Well, I can't make him get a haircut. My Lord, Brother Hoy's 7 years old. I think they'd all look good like Brother Steve back here. Jacob. Well, I started to say Doug, but he's a little patchy. Jerome's getting thin in the old age, too. I remember when Brother Jerome had a whole head full. Are you listening? The will of God, ladies and gentlemen. What is God's will for your life? Oh, I know it's to dig in and be faithful in the house of God. I know it's to support the church. I know it's to support the pastor. I know it's to support what's going on in the house of God, the programs in the church, the ministries of the church. Oh, God, help us not to draw back, ladies and gentlemen, in the day of battle. We have got the Bible. We have got the Holy Ghost. We've got one another. We have got an intercessor. We have got a high priest. We've got the power of God. And God, help us that we not draw back in the day of battle. Now some, instead of turning back, Brother Steve, they're just drawing back.
Amen.
Now there's a difference in drawing back and turning back.
Right.
And Brother Paul said in Hebrews 10 that he had no, that his soul had no delight in those that draw back.
Amen.
But he said, brethren, said, I'm persuaded of better things than you. We're not of those that draw back, but those that go on.
Amen.
We're not of those that draw back unto perdition, but to those that go on unto salvation. Is anybody listening? I know you made me slow. I'm tired, but my God, I believe some of you's brain dead. Amen. And the problem with some of you, you're trying to live outside mama's womb on a biblical cord. Not an umbilical cord. Some of you need to cut that little cord.
Amen.
And trust God a little bit.
Amen.
Believe God for a few things.
Amen.
Amen. Now, is everybody with me?
Amen.
I hope so. Now, stay right with me. I want to mention four or five things and we're gone. We're out of here. When did they turn back? Why did they turn back? Number one, look at verse Ephraim, the children of Ephraim, verse 9. Being armed and carrying bows, turn back when? In the day of battle. May I say the reason they turned back, apparently, they feared the enemy. They feared the enemy, ladies and gentlemen. I want to ask you something. Do you fear the enemy? We ain't running fast, but we're doing all I can do. Some of y'all help me, we'll do a little more. Do you fear your enemy? Can I name some of them? And these is the easy ones. Sin.
Right.
Some of you fear sin.
Right.
You would cuddle up to it rather than fight it. You're like that woman had that big black eye several years ago on the television. Smoked them Carlton cigarettes. She said, I'd rather fight than switch. You're opposite from that. You don't want to fight. You'd rather switch. You're afraid of the enemy.
Amen.
Amen. But sin, self, Satan, and society is not the sins that this church has drawn back from, and it's not the sins that some of you fear. May I tell you what some of you fear? Come on in the house. It's not sin, it's not Satan, it's not self. I would to God some of you did fear yourself. I'm going to tell you what a lot of folks fear. Trials.
Amen.
You draw back because you're afraid of walking through the valley with God and walking through those dark valleys and dark hills with God in places that will make a Christian out of you.
Amen.
Amen.
You're afraid of difficulties and troubles and heartaches and disappointments and discouragements and sad times. You're afraid of the testings and the trials of Almighty God. That is an enemy that some of you fear.
Amen.
May I say that troubles and trials and temptations and tribulations is not pleasant. But God, Brother Robert, give us grace to get through them.
Amen.
Amen. And if you go anywhere with God, you're going to have progression in those trials and tribulations.
Right.
Daniel's first trial and Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego's first trial was simply refraining from the king's meat.
Amen.
Now, I'm going to tell you, it's not difficult for me to stay away from the theaters. It's not difficult for me to lay off of wine and liquor. I puke at the thought of it. It's not hard for me, ladies and gentlemen, to abstain from those things. But I'm going to tell you what does put a fear in my heart is walking with God through the troubles of life. I fear and tremble at the thought. Hey, I fear and tremble at the thought of the greater things up the road. But I'm not going to turn back because of them.
Amen.
Amen. I can abstain from fleshly lust. I can abstain from the world. But I'm telling you, if you never learn that some of your problem, you've abstained from some of those things, but you're afraid of the furnace of fire.
Amen.
And you'll never get to the furnace of fire until you abstain. Are you listening to me? And you'll never get in the den of lions until you abstain. Somebody said, oh, I don't want there. But I'm telling you, it is necessary to go there if you're ever going to amount to anything for God. God will have to try you, purge you, purify you, and teach you to trust in His power and in His mercy. Woo! I ain't getting anywhere with some of you. But I'm telling it right. They feared the enemy. Being armed and carrying bows. They didn't turn back in base camp. They turned back in the day of battle, ladies and gentlemen. Hallelujah. It's easier to join ranks with the unbelievers and easy believers than it is to stay straight with God. It's easy to give way a little bit and start letting slits in our dresses and hair get out of place and a few worldly standards. You know, it's... Don't take any fight whatsoever to do that.
Amen.
And if we wanted to capitulate, we could bring in the crowds.
Yeah, go ahead.
Anybody listen, I think all every one of you has turned off that little key.
Cause
I'm going to tell you why. Because I'm preaching right in your face and you know it. There's some of you in here that are not going any further with God. You have made up your mind that you have went as far with God as you're going. And I'm telling you that the battle is raging. And there's no place to sit down by the way or in the way. It's no time for that, ladies and gentlemen. I'm telling you, you've got a lot more at stake than just you. Look who's sitting beside of you. You've got children beside of you and family beside of you. And there's friends beside of you. And if you draw back or turn back, somebody has got to make up the stand in the gap and make up the hedge where you were. And it'll weaken the ranks of God's people. Now, I want to ask you something. And I know this is a little thing, but I want to ask you something. I want you to listen carefully. How many people would have been here Friday night for the graduation if the whole church had the attitude about graduation that you had?
Amen.
Oh, Brother Hall, just graduation. No, ladies and gentlemen, it's faithfulness.
Amen.
And I'm going to tell you something. I want you to listen to what I'm saying. Some of you that won't get involved in things like that, there'll come a day when your kids will graduate.
Amen.
Then what are you going to do when the church sits at home while your kids are graduating? I'm going to tell you what you'll do. You'll get puffed up about it.
Right.
Come on in the house, ladies and gentlemen. It's time to put the rubber on the road. And we can't expect folks out there to contribute to our radio marathons and this ministry if we're not willing to get involved in it ourselves.
That's right. Amen.
Amen. Come on now. Come on now. We have to talk, we'll talk. Ephraim, being armed, carrying bow, turned back in the day of battle. Why, Brother Hall? Because they feared the enemy. Temptations, troubles, and trials. They feared that. The second thing, notice this. Their faith was not steadfast. Look at verse number 8. And might not be as their fathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation, a generation that set not their heart aright, and whose spirit was not steadfast with God. What was it that Gary Wayne just said in Sunday school? Took the words right out of my mouth. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God. But let him ask in faith without wavering. For the man that wavereth is like the waves of the sea that is tossed about with the wind or the waves, whatever it says of the sea. Then it says, for he is unstable in all his ways. And he said, a double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. Now I'm telling you, if we're not praying and asking God in faith for the things that we need, we're unstable.
Amen.
They were unstable in their faith, ladies and gentlemen.
Right.
Their spirit was not steadfast with God.
Amen.
And their faith was weak, and they become unstable, wish-washy, and they turn back in the day of battle.
Amen.
Praise God, I won't have enough faith.
Amen.
That I can swing out over hell on a corn silk.
Amen.
Sing Amazing Grace. Amen.
Yep.
That's right, Miss Gwen. I want to charge hell for a water pistol. That little girl's worth it. That little boy is worth it. That little girl is worth it. These other kids in here are worth it. God help us not to turn back, ladies and gentlemen, because our faith is weak. Oh! Can God? God can! God can make us overcomers. We're more than conquerors through Him that loved us. Where is your faith?
Amen.
Do you believe God can make you stand?
Amen.
Their faith. Faith is substance of things hoped for and evidence of things not seen. Now, I want to show you something, Brother Rickard. You're young here in the church. I say in the church. The substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Ladies and gentlemen, right there is our hope, our faith for both present and future. The hope. Faith is the things hoped for. There's our future. Faith is what we're hoping in. Surely I know, Brother and Sister Rickard, desire that little boy there to reach age and come to God. They wouldn't have him in church if they didn't.
Right.
And I know they want that baby that's in her to be in the house of God and come to faith and know God. What is that? That's hope.
Amen.
Amen.
Would you stand up here, please, you boys?
Amen.
Oh, you got your hands full? I was going to have the. It's all right that they're all up here. I don't care. But I want to say, hey, faith is the substance of things hoped for. Just like some of the rest of you, just like Matthew back there. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. There is a substance there, and faith helps us hope for things that have not yet taken place in our life.
Right.
Is that right? These little boys and girls back here, Brother Shelby's, Miss Louise, grandchildren. Finnish little girls. Doug's children. Sharon and Robert's children. Rick and Kelly's children. Steve and Angie's children.
Amen.
We hope! Do you have enough faith to hope? Somebody said, oh, Brother Hall, It's hard for me to hope. It's hard for me to hope in things that I have not seen. Oh no, I said future and present. Behold, the evidence right there, the evidence right there is the evidence of things not seen. Did you hope for him, Patty? He's evidence of the hope. Things not seen. Hallelujah to God. You can hope for your children because somebody else has already hoped and they've seen it come to pass.
Amen. Amen.
Now I don't want you to turn back into their Bible. I don't know how many of these children have professed Christ. I've not baptized all of them. But all of them haven't.
Amen.
You haven't have your baby. You haven't have your buoy. I don't think you boys have you? Hope.
Yes.
Faith.
Yes. Amen.
Faith. Their spirit was not steadfast in God. May I say something? If you really got that kind of faith that your spirit is steadfast with God, when those doors out there unlock, you'll say, praise God, I'm glad because God said, let us go to the house of the Lord.
Amen.
You'll have these children in the preaching.
Yes, right.
And there's hope.
Amen.
Faith is a substance of things hoped for. There's the substance.
Amen.
And the evidence of things not seen. There's the evidence.
Amen.
That's the evidence of things not seen because you've not seen it in your own children yet.
Right.
But you've seen evidence of it. Hallelujah.
Amen.
You realize every one of us that's saved gives evidence to those that are not saved?
Exactly.
Woo! It's true. Hallelujah to God.
Amen.
Hallelujah to God.
Amen.
I bet Miss Sue hoped for these youngins. Amen. I've never forgotten the day all of them come to God. I've never forgotten the day some of you in here come to God.
Amen.
I tell you, I'm hoping some more will come to God.
Amen.
These little boys and girls that have never professed Him, I'm hoping I've got a faith. Amen, and I'm not turning back. You can turn back, puff your tail, run, be a coward. But bless God, I'm going to dig in.
Amen.
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 Hallelujah.
Thank you, children. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So they feared the enemy. And their faith was not steadfast.
Amen.
Notice this in verse 10. The Bible said they kept not the covenant of God.
Amen.
Refused to walk in His law. See, they failed to keep God's covenant.
Amen.
They not only feared the enemy, their faith, they feared the enemy, their faith was not steadfast, but they failed to keep God's covenant.
That's right. Amen.
You realize you're in a covenant agreement with God?
Yeah.
Amen. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to keep mine. Now, I'm just telling you how it is. I heard Brother Don Anderson say the other day on his broadcast, he said, I've been at Sunlight Baptist Church about 17 years. He said, I have never struggled to preach one time here. I said, well, God bless thou. Because I have.
Amen.
I must not be that spiritual because I have.
Amen.
Amen. But I've made up my mind. I might struggle sometimes. I might flip and flop, and I may not have everything my way. I'd have rather had a little more money in there the last 3 days.
Amen.
I'd like to see the building full. I'd like to baptize 25 tonight instead of 4. But I tell you one thing, amen to God, I am not going to turn back from the covenant I've made with God.
Amen.
I made a covenant when He called me into salvation. And I made a covenant when He called me to preach.
Right.
And here's that covenant. I said, as long as you dish it out, I'll dish it out.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah.
That's why I give $5 on that mail carrier yesterday, Brother Andy.
Oh, yeah?
That's right. Mail carrier called and said, everybody's a mail carrier. call in $5. I said, that's me. I said, God gives me the mail and I deliver it.
Amen, preacher. Yes, sir.
Amen.
Yep.
Amen.
I'm going to keep on delivering it.
Amen.
Somebody said, we don't like it. I didn't. I know that. That's not my responsibility.
Amen.
My responsibility is to be the mail carrier. Now, I promised the Lord a long time ago, you give me the message, I'll preach it. You lay it on my heart, I'll let it rip.
Amen.
And I will not be slack, and I will not draw back. And I'll do it with all the zeal, all the fire, all the energy, all the power I can muster up.
Amen.
Amen.
I know people need stirred up.
Amen.
But praise God, we've been stirred so long, we turned to better.
Amen.
A little thick. We might need to thin out a little bit, Brother Leroy. Stir a little bit more. Amen. I'm going to keep the covenant. You know what? You know what Joshua said? He said, for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord.
Right.
Said, who are you going to serve? The gods on the other side of the river? Or the gods in whom land we dwell? Said, you can serve either one of them you want to. But as for me and my family, we're going to serve the Lord. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen, amen, amen. Amen. Now notice, this is my last point and we're done. They forgot the wonders and the works of God. Look what it says in verse number 11. And forget His works and His wonders that He had showed them. Do you realize, and I'm telling you, you better realize that it's possible for somebody to get so far away from God that they'll forget they were purged from their old sins? That's what Peter said. And I'm going to tell you, what'll get you there is when you forget His works and His wonders. You know what I believe that's talking about? I believe it's talking about the plagues. Now, how could they ever forget?
Yeah.
How could you ever be inside the house, ladies and gentlemen, and the storm rage on the outside until the cry of every home come up before God and the firstborn of every firstborn male of every family in Egypt died?
Right.
How could you forget the devastation of the plagues, the lice and the flies and the frogs? The water turned into blood. How can a man ever forget something like that? But that's what that's talking about.
Yep.
And I'm going to tell you, some of you in here just about forgot the plagues God brought upon you to get you to Christ. You couldn't understand it. You didn't know why. You didn't understand why things weren't working out in your life, but some strange way the problems and troubles and the circumstances of life, and it just one mess after another mess, but eventually the messes brought you to the house of God.
Hallelujah.
And brought you to Christ.
Amen.
How could we ever forget that? I don't know how God worked in your life. I've never shinned a sycamore tree. I was never blinded on the road to Damascus.
Amen.
I wasn't raised from a casket.
Amen.
I wasn't cleansed of literal physical leprosy.
Amen.
I never had my eyes open literally like Bartimaeus. Now, I can tell you all about all them things, but you know what I'd rather tell you about? I'd rather tell you about what He done for me. I can tell you what He done for others, but I'd rather, like the song the young people sing, I'd rather tell you what He done for me, Brother Steve. How He brought me out. How can I forget how He brought me out?
Amen.
I'm going to tell you, it eventually took the death of my mother-in-law and the death of my father-in-law to get me out, but God got me. To get me where He wants me. But He got me.
Amen.
How could I ever forget? Every time I go back to Indiana, I walk to that cemetery and I look at that grave marker and the thought that's in my heart, Lord, I'm so sorry. I regret that it took the life of two precious people to get my attention.
Amen.
Now, I'm not about to turn back with that in my mind. You know why? I've got other precious people.
Amen. Yes, sir.
Amen. I've got other precious people. They forgot His power. The Bible talks about in that very next verse how that He parted the waters. How can we ever forget the power of God? How He reached down and delivered us. How could we ever turn back knowing where we were, what kind of a sinner we were, how vile we were, and yet God in His power parted the waters and brought us across to the other side, ladies and gentlemen. Now you tell me how we can forget that. I cannot forget it. Now you talking about power that can take a drunk? I'm talking about a sot drunk. I'm talking about a puke sot drunk. I'm talking about power, ladies and gentlemen, that can take a pukey sot drunk, a cusser, a reviler, an ungodly, filthy mouthed man. And in a moment, get him to drinking from the fountain of blessing rather than the fountain of cursing. Hey, you tell, hey, how can we forget that? Jacob, you better not ever forget it. I noticed the first night you sat up back here, boy, and started looking. I went on my knees and missed all that boy. God's doing something that boy. I said, He listened to me tonight. She said, really? That boy listened to me. Now, I'll assure you, he may forget it, but until I die, I will never forget it. You think I'm ever going to forget that night? In the evening hour when Sharon pulled up in front of this church out there? And I told Miss Hall, I said, unto God, there's that girl from Shoney's we've been witnessing to. You think I forget that? That girl didn't know me from Adam's house cat. She got to listen to WSOF, though. Didn't you, Sharon? How could I forget that Sunday morning? When it seemed like the devil just tore up everything around here. And yet, in the middle of it all, little old young girl from Millport got on an altar up here and got gloriously saved by the grace of God. And she's not missed a lick for God since that day.
Amen. Amen.
You tell me how I can't forget it. You might, Miss Patty, but I'll never forget it. That's power. And we've all been guilty of sin. Some of you ladies in here fit into that little girl in John 8. Now, if you forget a power that'll bring you out of that lifestyle, set you down on a church field for some reason, you come back and let some little old skinny preacher spit all over you and hoop and holler and bawl at you every Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Tuesday night. You just keep coming back. I'm telling you, that is a power that I cannot explain, but I sure do like it.
Amen. 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 I like it.
Amen. Now, if you think for 1 minute that I can forget that Sunday morning when old Brother Shelby Wilson and Miss Louie and that ponytail that long.
Hallelujah, praise God.
He hit that out. I said to myself, unto God, old ponytail. And I'll never forget it. Unless I'm wrong, I believe it was right about here on Sunday night. Shelby said, I've been saying them this morning, but I just want to tell you, my wife and I got saved up there this morning. In the back of my mind, I said, we'll see. And Tuesday night, old ponytail weren't ponytail. Now, I'm going to tell you what. He didn't just all of a sudden decide to say, praise God, this ponytail that I love and plaid and take good care of and think it looks pretty. I'm just going to cut it off for the fun of cutting it off. Something got a hold of him, praise God. Something got a hold of him. Something got a hold of you, praise God. Something got a hold of you. Something got a hold of me, praise God. Something got a hold of me. What was it? It was a good love of Christ.
Amen.
It was a good power, the gospel. And he rained many plagues, but one day he showed me the power. And he parted the waters, praise God, and I crossed out of Egypt. Hallelujah. So they forgot the plagues and forgot his power. He said there in verse number 14, in the daytime also he led them with a cloud and all night with a light of fire. They forgot his path. I've never forgotten the path. I will follow the steps of Jesus where they go. Footsteps of Jesus that make the pathway glow. I will follow the steps of Jesus where they go. I'm not about to forget the path. I remember that first little church I pastored. It's gone now. I remember the years and little old Rumsey over there, and I remember the years in Bible college. Miss Hall and I was coming in here last Sunday night, and Unshackled was on, Brother Andy. And this woman said, and I told Nelson. And I said, Nell, wait a minute. I come in here and got to listen to that thing. You know who that was last week? That was the wife of Nelson Doar. Nelson Doar is the father to the preacher boy that gave Sun and Shield Baptist Church all of their property in Marana, Arizona. There they got on Unshackled, telling about a church that I started in Tucson, Arizona. Amen to God. And another man gave them real estate, building, lock, stock, and barrel. How can I forget the path? How can I forget where God's brought me from and the leadership that God's given me in my life? Amen. And I'm done right here. They forgot His provisions. Can God spread a table in the wilderness? What will that babbler say this morning? I may not have said much, but I got a smile out of some of you. I tickled the heart of some of you. That's more than you was doing when you come in. I got a tear out of some of you. I saw a red eye. That tells me it's still there. It's still there. I'll tell you why I'm preaching this. To remind you and to refresh your mind of the great day when God delivered your dying soul from hell and brought you on eagle's wings unto Himself. That's why. Ephraim, being armed and carrying doors. Turn back in the day of battle. God forbid we should ever turn back on God. Let's stand together.